So we're in Proverbs chapter 2. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that your Holy Spirit be poured out upon us. Lord, we want to understand. We want to live by the dictates of our heart, by the commandments that you have written there, and be guided by that still small voice, which is your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that we would just be peaceful in your presence, that we would just be calm. The world's going to spin on, and, Lord, we don't have to react to it. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we are out in the world. Lord, the uncertainties that are out there, Lord, we need you most. We need to be anchored in you. So, Lord, as we open your word and read your word and study your word, I pray that it would have its effect on us, giving us peace, that hope and assurance of everlasting life that you have promised us. Oh, Lord, let us live by your promises. We love you, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, as you've been doing your homework, as I'm sure you have, hopefully, and it's kind of neat because as I prayerfully consider the Proverbs, it's a vista that kind of opens up the same way that I kind of imagine it. I wonder what the priest that witnessed the veil being ripped from top to bottom, I wonder what his reaction was. You know, it's like all of his life he's been told that you're not allowed back there, otherwise you'll be killed and that kind of a thing. And then so the veil was ripped from top to bottom, and okay, what do I do now? You know, do
I take a peek?
Yeah. Do I take a peek? You know, just like the curiosity of the little kid. Do I take a peek? Do I look in there and just to see? And you know, but the beckoning, just being able to come in, and as I'm reading, well, the chapter one really starts it out, but in chapter two, as he's continuing on, it's almost as if he's calling from inside the veil, and just to come on. It says, "My son," you know, it's the relationship aspect. Okay, my son, your sins have already been dealt with. You are now able to come in before the throne room of God. And I hopefully, and if you haven't, I pray that you would notice the ifs in here. Okay? First of all, it's my son. Who are you talking to? You're talking to the one that I've already redeemed, the one that I've purchased. You are my son. So, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. So there's this if in here. You know, and it's like, my son, I've bought you. Now you have eternal life. No doubt about it. That's not even the question in here. But if you want to draw closer, if you want to have a deeper relationship, then, he says, if you will receive my words. Now, this is all of his words. From Genesis to Revelation, there is no, well, this is not important. You don't have to worry about that. You know, it's all there. If you will receive his words and hide his commandments with thee, you know, that's it. And it's a personal thing. It's not a corporate thing. You can try as you might to, you know, build a hierarchy in churches with rules and regulations. And you know, like, if you want to be in this ministry, then you can't have two cars. You have to give one of them to charity. And you can't buy more than £100, $100 worth of groceries in a week, or this or that, and all these rules and regulations that the Jews kind of put down there. They took the law, and then they expanded on it, and then they expanded on the expansion package, and until it was impossible to even know what these laws are. But if you receive his commandments and hide them in your heart, thou shalt love. You can't get past the first one. You know, I mean, by the time you get done reciting it, it's just like, it's all there. Everything is right there. And so everything that you do is going to be, you know, it's going to be focused in on that. And we're going to talk about judgment in a little bit, but that being put aside, as you start to go through those little commandments, this is self-examination. This isn't where you look at somebody and you say, you're not doing this. You know, it's like, no, you're examining yourself. Where do I fall into this? It's because it's a relationship between you and God, not anybody else. You know, you're not sent from God to say this or that with somebody else. It's your job to hide the commandments with you. And so you're reciting these commandments and you're going through it day by day, moment by moment. You're going through all of these things. That's what it means to hide them within you. You know, you're not reciting them out loud. They are written in your heart. So you received his words, and then you're hiding them. Well, of course, you have to receive them before you can hide them. So receiving them means to willfully accept what is written in the pages. Now, that's a hard thing. I know we've all run across scriptures that, well, man, that's a hard saying. Who can hear that? You know, I mean, how am I supposed to receive that? Because I don't understand it, first of all. I don't know how it applies to me, second of all. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that you're receiving it from the Lord. That's why the importance, and it's been a big deal throughout the ages, about the inerrancy of Scripture. You know, you look at Scripture, and when you start to be the judge of what is from God, and what's not from God, you're in big trouble. Because you are in danger of taking something that the Lord deems very, very important. No matter how minuscule you may think it is, he spoke it. So it's very important. And so for you to set it aside, that's not important. You know, you're not receiving it the way it's supposed to be received. Every jot and every tittle will not pass away until it's all fulfilled. You know? And so as we look, we see, well, the end is not yet. So, man, everything is still applicable today. Now, once you've received them and you've hid them away and as treasure, you know, you're just like you would, man, if you were running down the field and you saw this bag full of money, you know, I mean, you're grabbing the money and you don't want anybody to take it from you. So you put it in your jacket or something like that and you zip it up and you kind of huddle off away so that nobody takes it. You treasure that word. As if it were fine gold or silver, as it said for it before. I mean, this is the most important thing to you. You see, so it's not only believing, receiving, applying, but it's also treasuring. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. It says, love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And so that encompasses a great portion to where your flesh is supposed to fall in line with what your spirit is doing. Now, you know the opposite is true sometimes. Your flesh is dominant, and so your spirit kind of will, you know, unwillingly falls in line with what your flesh wants to do. And so we end up in a defeated life. We don't live that abundant life that we ought to live. But when the spirit is in full control, then the flesh has no power. We have all of our desires are coming from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's no room for the flesh to get in. It's when we start to contemplate, oh, the flesh. Oh, yeah, I remember how the leeks and onions when I was in bondage. Oh, yeah, they were so good. I remember the stews that we used. You know, all of that stuff. No, you're not looking forward. You're not seeing the treasures that the Lord has for us. So we need to also incline thine ear unto wisdom. So putting those things into practice and understanding that, hey, you know, these things are important. And what's the thing that we come to understand is that this life is not the important part. It's not, you know, this life is passing away. It's, you know, it's like, you know, people, they talk about, well, you know, God made me this way. God, you know, and so, you know, I need to act out that which what God made me. No, the Lord's put you on this planet in a particular form, in a particular way, for us to overcome the flesh. Some of us have, you know, passions that other people don't have. You know, I had brothers that were alcoholics. My father was an alcoholic, and they were affected by alcohol. It didn't bother me. It didn't affect me at all. I didn't have the same struggles as they do. I have different struggles, you know, but it's not with that. So to sit there and say that, yeah, okay, well, you know, we're all here, you know, God made us all the same, that's nonsense. He didn't. You know, some of us deal with different passions, and so those are things that the Lord has put on us to overcome. not all of us was, you know, there you hear the thing, you know, these kids that are born with, you know, brain tumors and cancer and leukemia and things like that. And we say, well, how unfair is that? Well, that isn't the issue. The issue is where they are spiritually. Because in a moment, you know, like I'll be 60 this year, and it's like it was like that. I can remember being 5 years old, and now I'm 60, and it's like, where did the years go? You know, Cindy and I are always saying, can't believe the summer's half over already. We're in the middle of summer, do you know that? And it's barely seemed to have begun. We got a couple of hot days, and we think, oh, man, well, September's right around the corner. Man, you know, football starts in 2 weeks, preseason. Man, who doesn't dread that? I mean, you know. Well, unless you're a football fan, of course. But when football starts, you know, fall is here. Fall is right around the corner. And then with football, there's Thanksgiving, which I love. But, you know, I mean, and the years, they just roll by, and it's, you know, it's a blink of an eye. The Bible calls it a vapor. But these things, you know, as long as we have accepted Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what we have to face in this world. Whether we get 5 years in this world, or we get 55 years, or 105 years, it really doesn't matter. What matters is how we've spent the time getting to know the Lord. And that's what it is. And so when we get the commandments of the Lord, and we know that we're vapor because the Bible tells us so, and we incline our ear to wisdom, how shall we conduct ourselves? What's the most important thing that we can do in this life? Cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing. And then everything else will fall into place after that. And so then you begin to understand. And when you understand that, okay, we're only here for a little while. The Lord has us. When we die, we're going to be in paradise with Him. Well, my mind is at peace. I don't worry about getting old like most people do. I don't worry about the future because I know the Lord has it in His hands. He's not going to leave me or forsake me when I'm old. That isn't the issue with Him. He knows my frame, and He's going to take care of me. He's going to see that I have things to eat or things to wear. He said not to worry about those things. And fascinating is how the Lord covered that while He was here. You know, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. You know, the Gentiles, they worry about those things. But look, the Lord's going to, you know, He's going to provide for you. And some, you know, like as we get older, we start to, well, the days are limited. And I mean, I got, what, maybe 10 years that I can work before I have to retire? You know, I'll be 70, you know, and what am I going to live on? $1,200 a month? You know, is that what we're looking forward to? Is that going to be, that doesn't fill me with any peace at all. But knowing that the Lord has me and He's going to provide for me, that fills me with peace. And I can face that work. And I can exude that to these younger guys coming up. Man, how come you're not worried about that? Because I have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to take care of me. So, if you know, we have to apply our heart to understanding. Applying it means, hey, I've heard it, I've hid it away, I understand it, and now I've got to apply it. And that's what it comes out to. And yay, if you cry after knowledge. Now, I always look at, you know, I look at this, you know, it's like hailing a cab in New York. You know, I see it all the time. They yell, taxi! You know, they're yelling for it. They're screaming for it. Crying after knowledge. Lord, give me knowledge. You know, it's the desire of my heart. It's the thing that I want most. It'd be like, you know, if you're in a camp looking for food. Give me bread. Give me water. These are the things that I need to sustain life. If you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, and again, count up the ifs, not right now, but you know, in your private study, count up the ifs. If you do these things, if you seek her as silver and searches for her as hid treasures, then. You see, the desire, everything is brought to bear on this particular thing. All of the things that the Lord has for you. Now, the Lord has many precious promises, as we saw in 1 Peter. He says, He has given us exceeding great and precious promises. There, the book is full of promises that the Lord has promised you. In the Psalms, we read, as we went through the glorious promises that the Lord has done. Hey, then the Lord is going to grant you these things. You're going to live off of His promises. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Now, this fear is not just the dread or the terror of the Lord, but it's also the all-encompassing love of the Lord. You know, the respect that you're going to have, because you know now by knowledge that He loves you. so much that he died for you. He's made a way for you to be with him. Not so much escape hell. I mean, that's a byproduct. You know, really, it's an afterthought in our minds, because our greatest thing is to have a relationship with God. You know, and you know, a lot of people talk about heaven and the mansions and stuff like that, and you know, all that's well and good, but that's not, shouldn't be the focus. That's a carnal mind to think about, to saying, hey, what am I going to get? You know, I've given up all of this. What am I going to get? You know, I think that if we desire the Lord, as he's saying here, you know, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll understand that which the Lord has for you. You are his inheritance, but you're all, he is also your inheritance. I mean, that, it goes both ways. The most powerful being in the universe, well, you know, he created the universe. He's ours. He's opened himself up for us. A minuscule, teeny tiny, you know, filthy man, he's allowed into himself. Wow. You know, and he's delighted to do it. I mean, delighted. Oh, yeah. You know, can you, sometimes I don't see God as looking at me like that. You know, I mean, yeah, TJ wants me. You know, he desires me willingly. You know, I you know, sometimes, you know, after a hard day, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Find the knowledge of God. There it is. It's, if we are going through the scriptures, we're going to find out about God, all of the things that he is, all of the things that he's promised us. For the Lord gives wisdom. This is the language of love. Give. That's what the language of love is. For God so loved the world that he gave. The Lord gives wisdom. And out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So, again, another throwback to the Word. Everything in the Word is for us, and he keeps throwing back to that. Go back to the Word. Read the Word. That's where you're going to find it. Don't look at the commentaries. Don't look at what people have written on the blogosphere or anything like that. You don't need that. You have the Holy Spirit to teach you. He is going to lead you into all truth. And you know what blesses the heart of God more? Nothing else blesses him more than somebody leaning on his promise. The Lord said, I am going to send you the Comforter who will lead you into all truth. And you look at that and you say, Lord, man, you sent the Holy Spirit to teach me. Let me see what Brother John says over here. Oh, no, not Brother Carl. Let me see what he wrote about that. No, when you go to the Holy Spirit, Lord, please teach me. That blesses him to no end. You're standing on my promise, and I'm going to fulfill that by giving you knowledge. I'm going to give you the wisdom. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So we've translated now. The transformation has taken place from our head, from our heart, from everything inside, and it's now running, as J. Vernon McGee used to call, it's now taken on shoe leather. Okay? It's now part of who we are, what we do. I heard something today that was very profound. You know, on the radio, I was amazed that I actually heard something profound on that Christian station. But the whole aspect of it was, is that there was these, it was a commercial, and this guy was saying, you know, like, you know, our, you know, the only thing that we have is, you know, like, what we have is, we have the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as the book of the Revelation says, and the testimony of the saints. We are the testimony. I once was lost. Now I am found. And everybody has a different story to fill in that blank. I was once, this is the most powerful, what we think is some of the powerful testimonies are out there. Well, I was into drugs and I was a heroin addict and, man, I was on death's last door until, you know, I turned the radio on and I heard Chuck Smith talking about eternal life and Jesus Christ, and I just gave my life to the Lord. And ever since that day, man, I have not looked back on that. On that time, you know, and these are the testimonies that, man, I wish I had a testimony like that. But we all have testimonies. We heard the word. Maybe we weren't junkies. Maybe we weren't thieves. Maybe we weren't on death row. But we have a testimony. We were still lost, just like they were. And now we're found. And this was my journey. You know, I had ups, I had downs. Nothing really fantastical that we would want to, you know, go on speaking tours and say, oh, yeah, okay, this is, you know, you hear this guy, man, this is phenomenal. No, this is kind of like a, kind of almost like a mediocre thing. In fact, you'd probably fall asleep if you were, you know, reading my, you know, testimony on there because it's so boring, you know. But, you know, it's the little ups and downs throughout the whole thing that brought me to the place where I am today. You know, the place where I'm able to trust in the Lord with my whole life, you know, everything that I am. But it was a gradual input. You know, nothing, you know, spectacular, I mean, or anything like that. But, you know, there were battles along the way, as there always is. But nevertheless, you know, we have our testimony. The testimony of the saints is what we proclaim to the people. We proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the testimony of what He did for me. You know, I testify all day long about what He's done for Cindy. But that's not going to be real. It's not going to be me. I can only testify of what He's done in me. Just like you and you. You know, everybody. Everybody has their own story. And the Lord's going to bring around people that need to hear your story. Isn't that fantastic? The Lord's just able to do that. And He's able to get His word across. Because, hey, you know, He's laid up sound wisdom for the righteousness. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He's, you know, and it's like sound wisdom. It's like when everybody else is losing their head and you're able to keep yours, you can attribute that to the Lord. It's the Lord's doing. Because I trust in Him. I'm not affected by these rumors of wars and things like that. I'm not affected of famine and pestilences. I know they're going to come. The Lord said, but He said, I'm going to hold you in my right hand. Yeah, even though 1,000 may fall on thy left and 10,000 at thy right hand, yea, it shall not come nigh thee. That fills me with wonder, you know. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Now, as I said before, we're going to talk about judgment. And we saw, you know, a couple of Sundays ago or I can't remember exactly when, but we talked about how judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Now, only we can do righteous judgment. Not on others, ourselves. Because only we, and that's what it says here, judgment, righteousness, judgment, and equity. We know righteousness. We have the Word of God right here. This is righteousness. And we have judgment. But do we have equity? You see, only from within we can, let's just take just a single scenario to where, okay, you were brought into question about your attitude, okay? And this is something you do yourself, okay? How was your attitude? Were you justified doing what you do? Are you justifying yourself? If you're justifying yourself, then you're guilty, all right? If you go through and you say, okay, these were the circumstances that I was going through at this time. I was worried about this situation here, and then all of a sudden this person did that. I was caught off guard, and you know, and you can go through the whole scenario, and you can bring every aspect of the situation to bear. That's equity. You see, we can't do that to others. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life and all of the factors involved. Everybody is very well adept at keeping things private, especially things that are we don't want anybody to know about. You know, they may come out in a harsh word or, you know, a misspoken word, something like that. We may get the feeling that something may be wrong, but we don't know the full extent. That's why are you okay? You know, you ever ask, you know, we always ask that, you know, are you okay? You seem a little out of sorts. I'm not out of sorts. Quit asking me that. None of your business anyway. Mind your own business. Quit judging me. You know, and we won't get. But the whole aspect of that is that we need to do that on ourselves. That's why judgment begins at the house of the Lord. As we take every situation and we start to dissect it, we can honestly, if we are honest with ourselves, we can honestly say, okay, this is what I was feeling. Okay, I really messed up on here, but then I recovered, and you know, so guilty as charged. I need to go before the Lord and get forgiveness, you see? And that's how that works. That's what righteous judgment's all about. And you see, only the Lord can do that. So when He comes back, He is able to do righteous judgment because He knows every single circumstances. He knows what you were feeling, what you were thinking at the time, you know, how you were justifying your actions and things of that nature. And he's able to judge righteous judgment. And we'll be surprised, I think, you know, at, during that time when you know, these judgments start to happen. He says, wow, I really didn't know you were going through all of that. I didn't realize the burden that you had or that kind of thing. You know, so it's always best to defer judgment. So wisdom defers judgment. Let that be the Lord's. Okay, you may be having a bad day. Whatever it is that you did, let that be the Lord. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. Let me handle that. We're not equipped. You know, that makes us a judge, and we're not equipped for that. So he says, then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So we'll be able to still walk in peace when others have wronged us or done things that they, you know, we don't feel that they ought to have done or whatever. But we'll understand, we'll have that understanding. And having that understanding, then we'll be able to, okay, put into practice giving the Lord the judgment necessary. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Now, again, this is a matter of how we entertain this. You know, and I mean, what I mean by entertaining is my, well, how we mull it over, how it allows, you know, what, and I say entertain, think about a movie that you really liked. You know, what do? Those things go over in your mind, over, and you think about this line and that line, and oh, that was a great scene there. Oh, man, you see how they destroyed that building? Oh, it was so great. Godzilla came in, and then, you know, that kind of thing, and you're playing it over, so you're entertaining those things. Same thing with the, can you imagine being with Gideon? You know, and having those pitchers, you know, and then they're all spread out around the camp there, and they got the torches over the pitchers, and then they break the pitchers, and all this light starts to happen, and the people down and below, they start killing each other, you know, and it's just the amazing thing. Or being with Jericho and watching those walls fall down. Wow, you know, or the Red Sea parting. I mean, you know, Cecil B. DeMille, he didn't do such a bad job. But, you know, can you imagine what it was really like, you know, and you start to mull. That's cool. The Red Sea turned to, or the Nile River turned to blood. Wow. You know, what that must have been like. And the frog, and the Nile, well, we won't think about that. But, you know, that when the wisdom that the Lord gives you is now pleasant to you, you see, now you've grown into a state. You've matured in your spiritual walk with the Lord to where these are your desires once again. And when the Lord, I know you all know what it's like. You know, when you're reading a passage of Scripture, and then all of a sudden you stop, and the Lord just starts to make this thing real to you, and you get understanding on it, man, and just your heart starts beating, and you just kind of get, and you can't help but to share it to somebody. Cindy, look at this. What the Lord just showed me on this. You know, and it's just like you just can't, man, you just kind of go, wow. If this is pleasant to your soul, you see, this is in a good place where you're going to continue with it. You see, I'm a great one. I have a weakness, and I guess I shouldn't be ashamed, but I'm not ashamed to say it. I like orange sherbet. And when I eat orange sherbet, it is very pleasant to me. And when it's pleasant to me, I continue to eat it until I can't eat anymore because it's gone. There is no more. This is the same thing with the Word of God. When it's pleasant to you, you just want more and more and more. You can't get enough. There's that appetite. I'm often, you know, I'm often saying, Lord, give us a hunger for your Word. And your words, you know, I did eat them up, and they were sweet unto my mouth, but they were bitter in my belly. Bitter in the belly is kind of like you come to understand that, man, I'm not following the Word as half as much as I ought to be, you see? Oh, yeah, they're sweet in the mouth, but man, to put them into practice, well, that's another thing altogether, you know. Discretion, then, when these things are, when wisdom is entered into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve you. Discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things or perverse things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, before we move on with that, you see, you will be already keenly aware as people speak that this is of the Lord or it's not of the Lord. This is of the flesh. You know it already. I mean, you just know in your heart, the Spirit just warns you, hey, this warning, Don't listen to this guy. But look at where it's coming from. And this really shocked me, you know. It says, who leave the paths of uprightness. So these are people who are walking with you sometimes in the house of God. These could be brothers and sisters, or so-called, in that respect. But they leave the paths of uprightness. Now that really just kind of like, you know, the wheat and the tares, the kind of thing. They're going to grow up together. They're going to look just like you, but they're not going to be of you. You know, and the Lord says there must needs be heresies among you so that you will know how to choose the right thing. You know, and you know, so that if there was no choice, you know, do good, do evil, then, you know, it would be just, well, let's just do good, you know, let evil fall by the wayside. But the Lord continues to put those choices on there to test your resolve, not for his knowledge, but for your knowledge. When evil comes your way, are you going to choose it or are you going to choose the good thing? And so that's why we still have those things. But there are people that are going to come into our past who walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they pervert their paths. You know, you can see with discretion, you can see down the road where they're leading. You know, just like your kids, you can see some of the choices that they make, people that they're hanging out. You can see down the road, man, this is what's going to happen. You know, you may have been brought up well, but son, you start hanging around with people of corrupt morals and you're going to get corrupted. You know, it's the old adage, you know, like, hey, bad company corrupts good morals. It's never the other way around. You know, the only way that we're going to be able to have good morals is to hang out with the Lord. Not hanging out with good people. It's hanging out with the Lord. The Lord is the only one that can purify. Now, yeah, there are people, you know, that walk with the Lord that can lead you, but they need to lead you to the Lord, not to, oh, well, come to my church. We have a great youth group. Oh, you'll love it. No, no, no. You know, let's go before the Lord. Let's get you before the Lord so that you will, I don't want you infecting those kids in that youth group. There's enough things in there to infect. You need to be a positive influence, but you need to get to the Lord first. You know, the woman that was by the well, she went out to the town and said, see a man that told me everything, you know, that I'd ever done. Come and hear him. See, she was leading people to Christ, not to the well. You know, hey, come and hear me. I'm going to give you a testimony of what this guy said. No, to the Lord. Go to the Lord. So we can see, you know, miles ahead of, you know, some of the decisions that we make. If we do these things. You know, there's always those if, you know, when we find ourselves in the bramble bush. How did I end up here, Lord? I followed your ways. I read your word. But did you do the steps? You see, there's step-by-step instructions there. We have to follow them. If we don't follow them, we're going to be in the bramble bushes. We're going to follow those things. We're not going to have discretion. Okay, so to deliver thee, verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her tongue. So, you know, ladies, you're not getting off. You know, that even, but see, now, this is in contrast to, if we take it in the models, we see that we have brethren, okay, but we also have the church, okay. The church is always the woman, it's always the bride, you see. When we look at the husband and wife, we see the husband is the type of Christ, the woman is the type of the church, okay? And so when you start to see that, there are many, quote-unquote, churches out there that will lead you astray. Just, you know, and I talk about, you know, the youth groups and things of that nature. There's a lot of things, you know, that go on in churches that really ought not to. You know, you look at them, you just kind of, huh? Well, this isn't church. How can this be in church? You know, I mean, there was a thing talking about yoga. You know, they have yoga classes in church. Eh? Isn't that, you know, Eastern mysticism kind of a thing? You know, meditation, you know, transcendental meditation kind of. And you just kind of tilt. You know, what are you doing? How can you be introducing this in a church? You know, and so, you know, they, you know, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even to the stranger with flattereth with her words. Now, there will be people that says, well, you know, where are you, man? We're supposed to mix the Bible. We're supposed to have the Bible as our base, but, you know, we're supposed to, you know, flow with the things that are going on in the world so that we can relate to the world. Nonsense. The Bible didn't say anything about this. It's come out from among her and be separate. That's what the Bible says. You know, be ye separate from the world. I've made you a peculiar treasure. Now, a peculiar is something out of the ordinary. It's something that people have never seen before. Wow, that's peculiar. You know, you see something, wow, what is that? That, you know, we are a peculiar treasure. But if we look like the world, what's the difference? You know, what kind of a testimony is that? But it says here, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. See, so it's somebody that had once fellowship or like kind of fellowship, but has walked away from it, and you know, for whatever reason. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the good, in the way of good men. So discretion is going to allow you to, you know, we said all that to say this. This is an example. There's a man out there that's going to pervert your ways. There's a woman out there. So, you know, you need to be on guard with all of that. There are institutions out there that will lead you astray. Be on guard with that. So that discretion will then, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Now, we saw before that, hey, who keeps the paths of righteousness? The Lord. The Lord is the one that keeps that path. And so if we are clinging to the Lord, if we are following these steps, if we are hiding them in our hearts, if we love them as silver and gold and all manner of treasure, then discretion will do these things for you. But there is that on our part. You know, like Paul says to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. And he, you know, he's going to direct you. You know, acknowledge the Lord in all the ways that you go, and he will direct your paths, as we're going to see in the next chapter here. So, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. This perfect here is the complete. That means that nothing else is needed for your well-being. Nothing else can satisfy like the Word of God. Everything else is secondary. You know, a lot of folks, they come, oh, you know, I mean, the people that are single, they go, oh, Lord, you know, just, you know, I'd love to have a spouse. Well, a spouse isn't going to be good for you, okay? The people that you would be lined up with are going to lead you astray, so I'm going to keep you single. You know, people have a hard time with that. You know, oh, if I could only, I'd be the best wife ever, or I'd be the best husband ever, or, you know. You don't know that, you see? The Lord is what we need to be complete in, you know. And if the Lord desires or is gracious to give us a helpmeet in our, then we will rejoice. But it will be an enhancement to our walk, not something that takes away from it. Be warned. I mean, we're all married here, but I mean, but you look at single folks and, you know, and, oh, yeah, I need to be married. Got to be married. You know, well, and you got, when you're young, you know, I mean, that's what you're thinking about all the time, and that's not always a good thing. You know, it is like, okay, but where's your relationship with the Lord? Where's your relationship with, and we as parents say, but that's great, nice girl and all that, where's your relationship with the Lord? A nice guy and all that, but where's your relationship with the Lord? Is he or she enhancing it, or is she or he or she leading you away slowly but surely from the Lord? And as parents, we have that mindset. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a godly person that's going to enhance. There are many godly people out there that will not enhance because they're not right. It's not ready, you know, or what have you. So we always need to be in prayer about that. But it's, you know, the perfect, the complete shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, it's getting a little late in the hour there, so I think it all kind of flows, but I know this is, it's a long one, and there's a good, but you know, like as so for next week, what we'll do is we'll just take chapter 3 as a continuation of, you know, what do you, so if you take 1, 2, and 3 and just kind of, If you're a sentence diagrammer or an outliner or something like that, and I'm not sure if anybody does that, but you know, if you just start to mark out, you know, what the Lord's doing, here's the grandiose thing, you know, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay, great. Okay, that's it. How do I get that? Chapter 2 fills in those blanks. Okay? It gives you, you know, a little bit of, in the end of 1, it just kind of shows you a little bit about what happens if you don't. But, hey, 2, as we've just gone through here, this is the practical, this is how I get it. This is what I have to do. If I hide these words in my heart, if I receive these words, you know, as from God, you know, all of those things, then I will receive this. So I can, it's kind of like an experiment, you know. It's like, okay, if I do these things, and this is my heart, you know, because I'm desiring, obviously, you know, but there, it has to be prayerfully considered as well. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches me. So he has to be the one that I call on. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to do these things. I want to have discretion. I want to have wisdom. I want to walk in your ways. I want to be complete. And so now we're praying according to God's will. You know, people ask me all the time, how do I pray according to God's will? Well, there is a way to do that. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk in his ways. Do his commandments. The Lord says time and time again, if you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, it's like, how can you get any more simpler than that? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, okay, how do I do that? Well, here we are. Now we've got the practical. And where is it? It's in the Old Testament. Interestingly enough. Okay? Oh, I'm a red-letter Christian. I only go into the New Testament. I don't bother with that Old Testament stuff. That's old. But the New, that's mine. So, don't be closed off. Receive the Word with all readiness of mind. Receive the Word, like the Bereans did. But they searched the Scriptures daily to prove whether these things are so. Let us be Bereans. Heavenly Father, we just want to be... We want you as our inheritance. We want to be confident in the fact that we are walking in the right way, that we are desiring your word, that we are desiring to do your work. Lord, you put us here as a testimony, and I pray, Father, that we would be able to fulfill that as we are filled with your Holy Spirit. So, Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. Help us to walk in your ways. Help us to be complete in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we give you praise and worship in Jesus' name. Amen.